Welcome to the program God and Country Radio. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program, I would like to focus on a principle taught in Ephesians 5:11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And here we see that Christians are called to expose evil. And this is often a neglected, avoided, misunderstood aspect of ministry. Recently, there have been a number of news items that have brought to my attention Ephesians 5:11, particularly the work of the Center for Medical Progress in Irvine, California. That's the organization that at the beginning of the summer exposed Planned Parenthood's selling of baby body parts. And by their exposure, they have completely changed the public discourse and the perception of Planned Parenthood. The Senate even took up a vote to defund Planned Parenthood. And with these new videos, more states are considering dropping Planned Parenthood from their funding. Now, there's really no reason for the government to be giving Planned Parenthood money in the first place. But there are many legislators who want the government to be in the abortion business in order to eliminate potential welfare children. But that is a whole other discussion. The truth I want us to consider today is this biblical calling to expose evil in order to shut it down. The Center for American Progress was created in 2013 by David DeLeiden and a handful of Christian-based pro-life activists. David is only 26 years old, and his goal was to expose what all pro-lifers know about what's happening in Planned Parenthood clinics: the selling of baby body parts, identical to the evil villains in most horror and sci-fi movies. These videos took 3 years to complete, and just imagine the time, the planning, the stress, the courage it took to go undercover and pose as representatives of a biomedical company in order to get evidence against Planned Parenthood. Pro-life insiders have been saying for years that Planned Parenthood is breaking federal law by selling body parts. But the media and the government never took up the issue until there was proof. And they weren't going to find the proof. Someone else had to do it. And there's no better proof than the directors of Planned Parenthood being caught admitting to what they're doing. This kind of investigative work is not for the faint-hearted. But by doing this, David and his team were able to achieve what Right to Life has not been able to do with all of its millions of dollars and thousands of volunteers. And in this, we're reminded that if we leave off this part of our calling to expose evil, we limit our effectiveness. Now, exposing evil is not our entire ministry, but it needs to be included as part of our ministry. Now, of course, there's some debate over whether the Center for Medical Progress was doing the right thing with the wrong methods. I mean, after all, they had to lie about who they were. They had to wear hidden cameras. They had to pose as someone else. And Planned Parenthood is trying to charge the center with violations against the law. Because in California, it's illegal to record or video any confidential communications without the consent of all the parties. However, the legal community wonders if that will stand up under the federal constitution. Because if all hidden videos are outlawed, that would be the end of all investigative reporting, political reporting, and the end of free speech. In today's program, I'm not making any value judgments on David's methods. I haven't looked into all of the details. But we do know the principle is right. We need to expose evil in order to defeat evil. And not simply to defeat evil legally, but also spiritually. By Christians exposing sin, we showcase to the world the nature of evil, that convicts people of their sin. It shows them their lostness and their need for Christ. The very purpose of the law was to expose sin. And the law becomes a tutor that leads us to Christ. In my own personal walk with the Lord, I have been greatly helped by documentaries exposing the true nature of the music industry, Hollywood, the cults, drugs and alcohol, etc. I'm indebted to those Christians who expended an enormous amount of energy and time to expose evil. Eric Holmberg and Reel to Reel Ministries is one ministry that comes to mind. But back to the political public policy realm. Along with David, there is also James O'Keefe and the Veritas Project. O'Keefe is that young Rutgers student who started an organization that uses hidden videos to expose liberal lies. Veritas means truth. The subtitle of his website is Investigating and Exposing Corruption in Both Public and Private Institutions. So, the left had been saying that there is no voter ID fraud. So O'Keefe films himself going into vote under Eric Holder's name. The left had been saying that terrorists are not coming over the border. So O'Keefe dresses up like Osama bin Laden and walks across the border from Mexico to the United States. O'Keefe shut down Acorn with his undercover videos. Remember, Acorn was that community organization that President Obama used to work for? Acorn was known for getting out the vote through voter fraud. So O'Keefe recorded an Acorn representative telling a young couple how to hide prostitution activities and how to cheat on taxes. And because of O'Keefe's videos exposing Acorn, the Census Bureau and the IRS ended contracts with Acorn. The U.S. Congress voted to suspend its funding of Acorn. And in November of 2010, Acorn filed for bankruptcy. It's amazing what can be done simply by exposing evil. There is an important role for Christians in the work of investigative journalism. In fact, we need more Christians doing this type of work because the media is no longer doing the job. I'll give you three reasons. The leaders in the media are morally bankrupt, so they no longer have moral outrage over sin and injustice. Second, the media is no longer putting the money out for investigative journalism. Newspapers are going bankrupt, so they want a quick, cheap story. They simply rehash what the national news services like Reuters or AP send to them across the wire. Third, members of the media tend to be part of the liberal intellectual class. And so they look the other way when there's corruption in a democratic administration. The media is no longer the watchdog it used to be. They are now the lapdogs for government. As the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 56, his watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love to slumber. The dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. A few years ago, I went to a conference, and one of the breakout sessions was with an old school investigative reporter. And he explained how to get involved in investigative journalism. For him personally, the Obama stimulus program was a gift to journalists that kept on giving. In 2009 and 2010, the government gave away billions of dollars. And all a journalist had to do was to look up the public records of who got the money, show up there, and report on how the money was spent. In so many of the cases, the money was wasted on needless projects, and people were able to line their pockets for doing nothing. And it made for great articles, became a permanent record of the folly of socialism, the folly of government stimulus. But this journalist was ready for retirement. And so he's encouraging more people, more young people, to step up to the plate and expose corruption. More people to become freelance, volunteer, investigative journalists. Now, if you're like me, you read these investigative articles and think, isn't that great that there are these magical little elves policing the state? These articles just appear. But it doesn't work that way. It takes the dedication and the sacrifice of godly people. Take, for example, the conservative group called Judicial Watch. That's the group going after Hillary Clinton's emails. They're the ones who filed in federal court to have Hillary's personal server turned over to government investigators. They are the group that keeps pushing for the truth about Benghazi and the Lois Lerner emails. The Justice Department is supposed to be doing this, but the Justice Department is in bed with the White House administration. So it takes an outside group of individuals to do the work. The work falls into the lap of good, honest people who care about righteousness. And guess where those people come from? The household of God. Exposing sin is part of our ministry for Christ. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now let's get the context and the meaning of this verse. Ephesians 5:5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you are formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Now, Paul begins by pointing out that there are immoral and greedy people in this world. And we're not to be deceived into thinking that these sins are simply minor indiscretions. These people will not inherit the kingdom of Christ. So we're to react to such people in two ways. First, do not partake in their evil. That's quite obvious, because we are to be the people of the light. We are not of the darkness. And so that's being on the defensive. But then Paul goes on to say that we should be on the offensive. Not only should we not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but we need to expose them. Now in verse 12, Paul writes, "For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret." It is disgraceful to speak of what's being done by Planned Parenthood. In one of the videos, the Planned Parenthood representative is ripping apart the body of an 11-week-old baby and showing the body parts to the undercover investigator. And it's disgraceful to speak in detail of the sexual practices in the homosexual community. Verse 12 may sound like Paul is saying that we should not talk about evil, but that would contradict what Paul just said in verse 11. We need to expose it. So commentators explain that Paul is teaching, yes, it's a disgrace to talk about it, but we still need to expose it anyway. Or that it's a disgrace to speak about when you are not speaking about it for the purpose of reproving it. Then verse 13 goes on to repeat the injunction by explaining all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. The light is God's truth. The darkness is the evil. And remember, Jesus said something very similar. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put upon a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. Jesus is teaching here that truth, like light, is not to be hidden, but to be put in a place where it can light up dark areas. Truth is to reveal or to bring to light the sins that are hidden. Then in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus instructs his disciples to speak the truth about evil openly. Matthew 10:26, "Therefore do not fear them, the evil persecutors, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." Remember John the Baptist? He exposed the evil of King Herod. Luke chapter 3, verse 19. "But when Herod the Tetrarch was reprimanded by John because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the wicked things which Herod had done, he locked up John in prison." Such was the ministry of the true prophet of the Lord. But on the other hand, the false prophets of Israel were rebuked for not exposing the iniquity of their culture. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. "Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions, and they have not exposed your iniquity, so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles." Let's look at some scriptural examples of exposing evil. The first that comes to my mind is the prophet Jeremiah, who exposed what the Israelites were doing in the valley of Bahinam, child sacrifice. Chapter 2, verse 23, Jeremiah says, "Look at your ways in the valley." In chapter 19, the Lord commands Jeremiah to go to the valley and pronounce God's judgment. Also, I think of God's command to Ezekiel to dig through the wall in the temple and see what the elders of Israel were actually doing in the dark, in closed-door meetings. They were involved in the occult. And then God tells Ezekiel to go to the entrance of the house of the Lord and see there that the people are bowing down to the sun and praying to Tammuz, the Babylonian fertility god. The calling of God upon Ezekiel was to expose the hidden sins of the people, because the people were hiding their sins under the guise of being Jehovah worshipers. You and I'd be surprised if we actually discovered all that was going on behind closed doors in our nation. But like Ezekiel, our job is to expose it. I think of Genesis chapter 18 and the example of Sodom. The Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is very great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry." Now, this is a strange text, because you'd think that God would know what's going on down in Sodom. But the reader is supposed to discern that the angel's investigation into Sodom was not for God's sake, but for the sake of men and angels. Notice in the Bible how God always showcases the sin of a nation before he judges it, so that no man can say God has judged an innocent, wholesome people. I think of Judges chapter 19. A woman is raped and murdered in one of the cities of the Benjamites. And in order to get the attention of the other 11 tribes, this woman's body is cut up into pieces and sent to the leaders of each of the other tribes. The leaders say, "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel," and they assemble at Mizpah 400,000 troops and demand retribution from the tribe of Benjamin. This was early in Israel's history when Israel still had a sensitive conscience. Then, of course, there's the example of Jesus himself in Matthew 23. Jesus exposed the sins of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 23:27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And then Jesus went on to expose that hidden lawlessness. What about the Apostle Paul? Did the Apostle Paul ever expose the sins of the Roman Empire? We do know that Paul consistently exposed the sins of all of the Roman people. The likely reason he didn't speak specifically of the corruption of the Roman government because that was not his sphere of ministry. But when we do see Paul before government officials, Paul doesn't hold back. Paul exposed the sin of Bar Jesus before the proconsul in Acts 13. Paul spoke to the governor Felix about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. So we have many examples in Scripture of God's people being called to expose evil. Now let me conclude with some basic truths in regard to this whole subject. First, evil always works in secret. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Evil loves the darkness. As Jesus said, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They want to hide their true self. Paul called them deceitful workers. Peter writes that false teachers will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12. Evil is done by them in secret. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. False brethren were secretly brought in. Matthew chapter 2. Herod secretly called the Magi to determine when the star appeared. Now, I could take the next hour to explain from the Bible why evil operates in secret. But the short of it is that it's not that people don't want to do evil. They simply want to be relieved of the full guilt of their sin. They don't want to know their true rebellion, their true reasons, and the true consequences. So they cover their sin. And the deceived are the deceived because they want to be deceived. So it says in John 3, they are afraid of exposure. Not just of their evil being exposed to the society, but even self-exposure, self-realization. Truth must be suppressed so that people can do what they want to do, even though they know in their conscience that it's wrong. And as a side note, understand that the left always operates in secrecy. There's an old saying that goes, the difference between the conservative and the liberal is that the conservative right is afraid the public will not learn why they do what they do, while the liberal left is afraid that the public will learn why they're doing what they're doing. Big government socialists always operate on secrecy. That is why you have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. That is why the public is not allowed to see the details of the Iranian nuclear deal. That's why the left hates conservative talk radio, because it's an alternative source of news that exposes the agenda of the left. My second point is this. Why does exposing evil work to stop evil? Well, everyone has a conscience, and there is still a general moral consciousness in a society. People are still made in the image of God, and the law of God is written on their hearts. In the 19th century, William Wilberforce did not put an end to slavery in Great Britain by legislation. He put an end to it by a team of abolitionists who are writing essays and books and pamphlets about the treatment of slaves in the slave trading business. Everyone gives Wilberforce the credit, but the most effective work was really done by James Ramsey. He wrote a book called An Essay on the Treatment and Conversion of African Slaves in the British Sugar Colonies. There is also the work of Thomas Clarkson. Clarkson traveled extensively and compiled firsthand testimonies and statistics documenting the cruelty of slavery. And he came up with a poster with an image of a kneeling slave in chains above the motto, Am I Not a Man and a Brother? Now, in America, it was the novel Uncle Tom's Cabin that helped inform the American people about the injustice of slavery. Now, I'm sure you have the following question. What about those cases in which exposing evil doesn't stop evil? I mean, after all, some societies become so corrupt that when evil is exposed, the people simply yawn. And they say, of course this is going on. We all know it. And we don't care. You know, it used to be if a man was caught with a woman who was not his wife, he would never be elected to higher office. Now it's almost a qualification to be elected. It shows you're a man of the people. It used to be in America that if there was just one rape or one murder, there was an outrage. Everything came to a halt and the problem was fixed. As in the case of Judges 19 and that woman who was murdered in the tribe of Benjamin. But now thousands of murders and rapes take place and nobody in our society cares. I even remember as a young boy hearing that a woman was raped and murdered. And I was shocked. I thought they would call out the military, the National Guard, that there would be weeks of mourning and national soul searching, that businesses would shut down a memorial. But there was nothing. Everyone just accepted it. And soon as a young man, I began to accept it. The New York Times and the media actually came to the defense of Planned Parenthood, calling the Center for Medical Progress extremists, and that their videos were nothing more than a war on women. Twisted, isn't it? Isn't Planned Parenthood extremists in ripping apart babies? Aren't they conducting the real war on women? Murdering baby girls? So what do we do when a society has gone mad? It's totally given itself over to evil. As in Sodom, exposing the sin in Sodom to Sodom had no effect. Even with the Planned Parenthood videos, the Senate didn't get enough votes to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, the answer is that we still need to expose evil, for our work is not primarily to win the reprobates, but to help those few people who still have a conscience. To help them come to the truth and be saved. And even if none of those people exist today, we are still to expose the evil of our generation for future generations. We need to document what communism did in the 20th century, what Nazism did, what Islam has done. We need to showcase the kingdom of Satan so that other people and other generations will know that when you go down that road, this is where you end. A third truth, which you have probably already realized. When you expose evil, that is when the world will really begin to persecute you. All you have to do is simply say what the world is doing, and you will be hated by the world. For the world has an unwritten pact that we do evil, but we don't talk about it. And generally speaking, nobody minds a Christian as long as he keeps quiet and he minds his own business. But when you speak up, that's when you get your head handed to you on a platter. Literally, in the case of John the Baptist. When Paul spoke against idolatry in Ephesus, that's when the idol makers started a riot in the city against Paul. Why do you think the Sanhedrin crucified Christ? Because he spoke against their unbelief and their corruption. So guess what hinders Christians from exposing the sins of the culture? Fear of man. And if you notice in Matthew chapter 10, the text right after that verse where Jesus teaches, what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetop, the very next verse is, do not fear those who kill the body. Fourth truth, beware of the false Christian arguments or the mindset against God's injunction to expose evil. In some Christian circles, how we minister for Christ is simply a function of how we personally believe Christianity is to operate. And some believe that our goal is to always be positive, to never set a man against his father or a daughter against her mother or a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Matthew 10:35. But Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. But some Christians mistakenly believe that it's up to God to expose evil. Our only job is simply to tell people how to get to heaven. And since exposing evil can be controversial and it leaves people with an icky feeling inside, it must not be what Christ wants us to do. But what says the Scriptures? Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We have a proactive command of Christ to show people their sin. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to or download this message. Send me an email and I'll send you a free CD of this message. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for your support. And thank you for making this program a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. And now, Father, we know another way in which we can serve you for your glory, by exposing sin and showing that you are true and every man is a liar, by showing the glories of your righteousness as set against the wickedness of men. Help us now to have an open door to do what you command. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.